Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for being with us here on ESPN 1000. Also, our listeners on sportstownchicago.com as being one of the voices of the Windy City Bulls this year. It's been a lot of fun to be able to take care of the radio broadcast in conjunction with Illinois Media School and doing the play-by-play for the Windy City Bulls. We have the president of the hottest team in Chicago sports, the Windy City Bulls, and Brad Seymour joins us here on ESPN 1000, also on sportstownchicago.com. Brad, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You do know you are presiding over the hottest team in Chicago sports right now, right?
You know what? We've been on a great roll over the last month or so, and winning is always better than losing. So we're enjoying the moment right now and where we are in the standings. And, you know, it's certainly a nice piece of the entire puzzle as we put together this season. So, yeah, I appreciate the compliment.
Oh yeah, well, I think it's evident. I can't. It's not me. I'm just calling the games and watching them. I mean, look at the landscape right now. There's no doubt that Windy City is a fun product to watch. I want to talk a little bit about your previous minor league team experience, because I know It's different than it is for maybe a pro team, because there's more innovation, there's more grassroots. What was it like when you first got into the business of being able to try to captivate an audience and bring them into an arena or into a field?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've had a great career in minor league baseball for 21 years, and then doing this with the Bulls for the last three seasons. And I've always enjoyed the minor league side of things, simply because you get to be so creative. You get to develop reasons and ways for people to want to come to these games. You know, you mentioned how well the team has been playing, and you know, we've got some incredible athletes on the floor every night, but we can't rely on just that to pack this arena that we play in or put butts in the seats, so to speak. So we have to develop those reasons for people to want to come to these games. It's creating the promotions. It's creating the theme nights that are popular and really resonate with the community. And so, you know, we pride ourselves on being a true community asset, you know, adding to the quality of life in the Northwest suburbs. But it is those reasons and you know, so many more that we challenge our staff with on an annual basis to, as I say, develop those reasons for people to want to come to the games and be a part of it. So it's a lot of fun. It's a huge challenge. But that's also why I enjoy it, you know, and I enjoy, you know, nights like the last couple of Saturday games that we've had where we have a really nice crowd on hand, a lot of energy, and really it's about so much more than just the basketball, so to speak.
I want you to get into the weeds with me a little bit, because I really want to know about the grassroots effort versus advertising dollars. I'm not asking you for dollars and cents, but I'm just talking about how different is it, because you're trying to touch communities in that area of the Sears Center and around the Sears Center to be able to attract especially young people to the Windy City Bulls. What is the challenge in that grassroots effort trying to touch people versus having one big commercial saying, "Hey, come out to the Sears Center"?
Yeah, I wish there was a magic bullet like that, and you know, or throw a saying or a picture up on a billboard and everybody sees it and just shows up. No, it is truly a 12-month process, and really during the summer those can be our busiest months, where every weekend we are out at you know, any kind of community festival, any kind of event that the local area is putting on. We really focus on the 15 miles or so right around the Sears Center, again, in the Northwest suburbs. That's our bread and butter. And so for us to be part of the community, it's really about going out and interacting with fans at these community events. And that's really what we do during the off season. It tails off a little bit during the season just because we're busy with putting on games and obviously going through the entire regular season. But the off season, that's what it's made for. And that's where we lay the ground and the foundation to build for the upcoming year. It's about going out and meeting with the various organizations that are going to become advocates for us. So, you know, we do a lot of fundraising events during our year. And so it's about meeting with those organizations and setting all that up, you know, in the 6 months of the off season. But really that is where we have found the most success. You know, we have a very robust marketing budget for our level, but it doesn't go very far in a major market like this. So we really have to rely upon being on the ground and pounding the pavement and going out and meeting people face-to-face. And that's where we've seen the success so far.
Working with the Windy City Bulls this year, Brad, I've obviously watching our product, but also watching other teams in the G League. And in some of these markets, it's really doing well. Like the Wisconsin Herd, for instance, every time I see a game in Oshkosh, it seems like it's drawing well. I know you have the information. I do not. But how well are some of these markets drawing as far as, you know, maybe the G League being the only thing in town for some of these cities?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I think there's a couple of reasons, at least what I've identified, you know, that the teams that are doing very, very well in our team and in our league. And just to give you perspective, we're about, you know, middle of the pack in terms of attendance, in terms of, you know, what we're bringing people in on an average basis. Obviously, our weekends are a lot better than our weeknights. But the Wisconsin team, for example, has just hit a home run in a community that is a couple hours away from Milwaukee, and really a standalone market that, you know, you are the only show in town. And, you know, but you couple that with how popular the Bucks are right now, you know, that's one of the hot up-and-coming NBA teams. And so it's kind of a perfect storm up there. Another great team that has done well for a number of years, Santa Cruz Warriors. And, you know, that's a market that is 100 miles away from Oakland and San Francisco, but the Warriors brand is so popular right now, and they're able to, you know, obviously piggyback off of that. But again, standalone market, smaller buildings, so you're able to build some demand. We play in one of the biggest buildings, you know, which is both a positive and can be a challenge for us. But it's being in a major league market, promoting a minor league product carries its own challenges, but you look at some of these other teams, you know, both for inspiration, for ideas. And the one cool thing about our league is that it's a very transparent league. I can pick up the phone and talk to, you know, any other team, and they'll share anything that is working for them that can translate to what we're doing here in our market. In fact, this week we're taking our entire staff up to our game in Wisconsin to meet with them and see their product that night when we're playing up there. But that's part of the transparency and really the cohesiveness that you see within our league in terms of everybody building each other up.
I wanted to find out from you, is there one memorable night, a theme night that you have not done that you'd like to do for Windy City? Like something that you've done in your career, but you'd love to do at Windy City, but maybe not.
Oh, goodness. I'd have to put some thought to that. I've been, again, fortunate to put on so many memorable events. The ones that really resonate and have really become annual traditions with the teams that I was with before coming here are the ones that are very important to the community. I was in Southern California for a number of years running a team there in an area that was very big into the military, aerospace. So we created an aerospace appreciation night. Every year we'd honor a different astronaut or aerospace pioneer. That grew to become a huge event. I was in Cleveland for a number of years, and we developed a promotion based around the movie Major League. That's obviously a nationwide, you know, popular movie, but it really resonates in that market. And so the community really showed up for it, had a lot of fun with it. You know, we're still kind of feeling ourselves out here in terms of the promotions and the events that have become popular or catching on and building. And so I'd say that's an open-ended question right now. That being said, we get some of our best ideas from our fans. And so I would never shy away from suggestions or people that toss ideas out there. Nothing is off the table. And that's, again, what we spend our off season doing is really building and developing and coming up with those ideas that are going to resonate and ultimately sell tickets and sponsorships next year.
Well, you've had dog night because I was a part of that, not because I'm a dog, but I was there for dog night. I've never seen that at a basketball game. That's new for me.
Yes. You know, that was an idea I brought over from the baseball world and seems to have taken off. We had almost 100 dogs here at our game earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And it's become a nice little thing that we've done for the last 3 years. Education Day is going to be a big one next month, where we'll have an arena packed with students here on field trips. Our Community Heroes Night that's coming up in a few weeks, That's kind of grown from just being a military night to now we honor and recognize all first responders, giving away a cool superhero cape. So we're tying in something for the kids, superhero theme. That's become something that we've been able to build upon the last couple of years. So, you know, what we've realized this year, too, is as I think any team would tell you, bobbleheads are incredibly popular still. And our first one was a few weeks ago. Had a really good crowd on hand for that. We're going to look to do several bobbleheads next year. So the promotional giveaways, the opportunity to walk away from the building with something in hand, whether it's a T-shirt flying at you or a promotional giveaway, that's what we aim to do. It's about creating those memories. And again, it's so much bigger and so much more than just the high-class, world-class basketball that's on the court.
Well, for sure, the thing that impressed me, there's several things that's impressed me by being with the Windy City Bulls now as a broadcaster, just the amount of kids that come to the games. That's just because if you need some noise, kids are right there to try to distract the other team and try to get a T-shirt, which I think is pretty cool because they're right through my headphones. I can hear them clearly because I'm glad that they're there because they're definitely having a fun time. And just the amount of families that are coming in, too, is so family-friendly. That's the other thing I noticed, too. I mean, clearly the ticket is affordable to be able to have a family of three, family four there. So that's something that I notice from other games that I go through in the professional leagues. And just obviously the atmosphere because the team's winning and the team is good to watch. So that's always a positive. I'll ask you this other thing, too. When an NBA player is coming off of an injury and they come into the building, how much of a bump up is that for any team to say? Because I believe DeMarcus Cousins played at least one game with Santa Cruz, right?
Well, DeMarcus actually practiced with Santa Cruz. Okay. It was a similar situation to last year. We had Zach LaVine practice with us for almost 3 weeks as he was coming back from his injury, and so similar situation where they assigned him to the Santa Cruz team. He did not play in a game, but he practiced with them at least for a couple of days. So, you know, you get some media attention for that. You know, to answer your question, I think it depends on the market a little bit. And it certainly depends on the player, you know, who would be assigned. The more popular player, obviously you're going to get a bigger draw. The one thing where we have actually seen a bigger bump or I guess a bigger reaction, you know, when we've had assignment guys come from Chicago and play for us and whatnot, they've been great, you know, with our fans and whatnot, but what's been actually a bigger surprise and even cooler to a certain extent, their teammates usually come and watch them, and those guys have all been very accommodating, you know, with our fans taking pictures, doing the signatures, and all of that during and after the game, and so you see, again, just that interaction that you have with our fans, the families that are here, and so we've seen a nice the benefits of that. But, you know, is it going to sell a lot of tickets for us? No, I wouldn't say it isn't. You know, again, we're in a major league market. If people really wanted to go and see a Bobby Portis, they could go downtown and see him, you know, for any of the home games there. So we're not necessarily going to see a big bump in the attendance, but what you do get is that opportunity to be up close and really personal with those NBA players that either come to watch teammates, or we'll get guys that just come to watch our team on a occasion. This year, Ryan Archidiakono, who spent last season with us, he's been at a game. In years past, we have had everybody from Rajon Rondo, Jimmy was here that first year. A lot of guys that have come up and watched games. And again, they've been very accommodating with our fans. So that goes a long way. We're certainly appreciative of it. But it just goes to show you the support that the players have amongst their fraternity and you know, they know what the grind and what these guys are going through in the G League trying to reach their dreams and they're here to support that.
Yeah, go to WindyCityBulls.com for tickets. If you have not been to the Sears Center Hoffman Estates, plenty of home games, plenty of tickets still available for so far. ESPN 1000 audience, if you haven't been there, you want to see some quality basketball, the hottest team in Chicago sports is the Windy City Bulls. I'll ask you this last question, Brad. And this is just you and I talking. No one is listening. Just you and I. Have you seen a Jim Brockmeyer situation in any of your travels working? You've seen Brockmeyer, have you not? The Hank Azaria show from IFC. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. So Brockmeyer is a half-hour comedy show on IFC. In which he is a once famed Major League Baseball announcer who suffers an embarrassing on-air meltdown caused by his wife's infidelity, as well as and he drinks on the air in the booth, and he's still got the old jacket on. You know, he's got the checkered jacket, he's got the red tie. That's just his claim to fame. But he's part of a minor league team that doesn't draw, but it draws well now because Jim is pretty much an embarrassment on the mic as a drug. So have you had that situation? Have you had someone with a little flask with him when he's broadcasting?
I have not. Thankfully, I've been around some incredible broadcasters, some incredible guys that have gone on to bigger and better things, you know, at the major league level, and have always carried themselves with the utmost professionalism and whatnot. So no Bob Uecker moments or anything like that if the team's on a long losing streak and, you know, they're taking a little something out of the pocket. So nothing like that, fortunately. And you know, I even look at the motley crew that we have on our scorers table, not pointing out any fingers, but we have a really good crew here, too, and they certainly do a good job and have been recognized for it, too. So, you know, I'm very appreciative of that. It's one area that I've not had to worry about, and we do a great job with our broadcasts.
Okay, that's got to be viewing for you. That's got to be must viewing. Brockmire from IFC.
I've made a note. Yes.
Yes, Brockmire. He is the broadcaster for the Morristown Frackers. So it's
that's
a true story.
Outstanding.
So I think they're in season 3 now. So you got plenty of time to catch up. I talked to Hank Azaria in character as Brockmire, and it is hilarious. Once you see it, you will be able to relate to small town broadcaster in a minor league ballpark. You're going to enjoy this. It's going
to
be funny.
I am. I'm excited to see it. I'm shocked that I haven't heard about it yet. So I look forward to seeing it because I can probably relate to many of the stories and things that go on in the show.
All right. Well, Brad, as always, it's great to be part of the team, and looking forward to seeing you again. And for SportsTownChicago.com on the radio side, it'll be the first broadcast ever was us going on the road to take on the Wisconsin Herd. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's the first time ever, so we're trying to make some inroads, definitely, for Windy City.
I appreciate that, and you guys have been doing a great job for us this year. And yeah, as I said, our entire staff will be there up in Oshkosh, and we'll be your cheering section right behind you. Hopefully we won't be too loud for you.
Okay. Brad, as always, thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you.
It is Brad Seymour, the president of the Windy City Bulls, with me, Jonathan Hood, as you're listening to ESPN 1000 and SportsTownChicago.com.